Thank you, Father, for this day. We do pray that you would teach us now as we look at these passages in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in Titus chapter 2. Teach us, Lord, to give thanks to you for our mothers on this special day. Amen. All right, who has a birthday? Anyone got a birthday? We've all got a birthday.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Aha, gotcha. We all got a birthday because one day we were born. Okay? Now, we've all got that in common, haven't we? So no one can see you can say they haven't got a birthday, at least once a year. Only once a year. Right. All of us then have a mother. So put your hand up if you've got a mother.
I've got none.
You must have had a mother one day. Because you're born with your mother. Yeah, you might know your mother. You mightn't know who she is. You mightn't know anything about her. You might even not like her. You might even think she was a horrible person. But we've all got a mother. Some don't have any knowledge of who she is or what she is. But believe me, we've all got one. And so, as we stop and think about our mothers, if we can think about them, if we know anything about them at all, we can have thankfulness and gratitude because that's the mother God's given us. And so, today we're going to focus on that. Last week, we had a special message on spiritual adoption. Now, that's a big long word, but that means that we're all adopted into God's family by the Holy Spirit, who seals and puts us into God's family and says that we're one of God's children. Well, today, we have a picture of connection from birth to our mothers. Connection from birth to our mothers. Now, today we look at, because it's Mother's Day, and I've been asked to speak on Mother's Day by Peter Curry, he put me in, put us in for it, and so I finished up getting the job. So here I am, here it is. So, but the spiritual connection is that God sometimes comes into our life and brings us about. So we are tied to the umbilical cord of God in some way. Don't ask me how it all works. Don't ask me how it is, but birth is an amazing thing. You know, I've got five children, and I think I've been present when four of them have been born. I missed out on my daughter. Didn't see her. But it's an amazing thing when you were born. You may not think it, but believe me, it was amazing that you were connected to your mother's umbilical cord. Think about that. I was connected to my mother's umbilical cord. That's a deep connection. That means that we came from out of our mothers. Wow. And so that reminds us a bit like the spiritual new birth, where we came from our God who brought us into being. He's okay. So, the picture is of connection from birth. It's a bit of a hard one, I know, today. The umbilical cord of God by His Spirit, who gives life. Today's question is, what does Mother's Day teach us about belonging to the church family? I'm not so much going to talk about our human family because that Mother's Day is all about our human family. But today I'm going to talk about our spiritual family. About the fact that we are all in this one family that goes back to the umbilical cord of God in some mysterious way. from which we were born by His Spirit. It celebrates motherhood as part of the image bearing of God and the church as God's firstborn. Okay, let's have a look then at these verses. And we see, we learn that we have a resemblance of God in mothers. A resemblance of God in our mothers. Now, because when God made man, He made us male and female, and both complement mankind. You can't have mankind without male and female, and so there is this two. Okay, I might be. I know I'm on dangerous country. I'm used to that. This book of Timothy and Titus sounds like out of some distant planet. But we all can learn about God from our mothers. That's what I'm wanting to say. That we can. They are the resemblances of God in kindness, in gentleness, in nurturing, in complementing, in supporting, in affirming, in reinforcing our home, our family, our life, our identity, our whole character. And so the mother is the one, isn't it? She's like the supreme servant of the home, you know. And I know it's not a popular picture, and I know I'm in a funny old day where all this is seen to be somehow rather inferior stuff. But, you know, looking after the home, caring for the kids, watching over us when we're young, changing our nappies. Someone changed our nappies. Chances are it wasn't Dad, it could have been. He might have done it occasionally. Oh, I did a few. I even hosed them off on the lawn. No, so I didn't have those disposable ones. But there was a lot more I didn't do as well. And so it's that caring for the home, for the family, and the kindness and the support of character. In fact, I think if you were going to get a picture of God from mothers, you'd use the word Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the nurturer, the one who stands behind and works in the Trinity, and who causes the life to happen. Who brings hope and the future and joy and all the gift of the Spirit into our life. So to me, that's a picture of mothers. I think it's a testimony that many of our churches are filled with older women. Well, firstly, they live longer. But secondly, they tend to be a lot more devout at times. And keep the church going in this persistent faithfulness of supporting homes and families and children. They're filled with older women who, together with mums, children, daughters and wives, complement our church men and families and enrich them. Okay, so I said it was going to be a hard one today, but the first point is that Mother's Day has some resemblance of God in it by who mothers are in their characters. Good mothers. They give us good pictures of a good God who nurtures. The second thing, also starts with R, is to be recognised. These women, God's women, are to be recognised by God. God recognises these wonderful women that are there in our midst. He, God, has a lot to say about caring for widows, especially in 1 Timothy 5:5-6. He talks of the widows who are really in need. Oh, I forgot to say a very important bit. Back in Timothy, it says there about treat the older women as mothers, and the older men as fathers. So, you know, William, you have a mother. Mothers are here. Here are mothers. And they are your mothers, your sisters, and we are a family because we have a spiritual connection to God by His Spirit. And so we can see that the church provides something that even if we missed out on in our life, we're given by the church family through the Spirit. As for the godly older women, these need to be recognised. That's the second R. He has a lot to say about the women, the widows who are widows indeed. 1 Timothy 5:5, one who is really in need, left all alone, puts her hope in God and continues to pray day and night. Now, I'm going to tell you about another woman. We learned about a few. But remember the one who was in the temple when baby Jesus or young Jesus sort of came in, and her name was Anna, wasn't it? Anna. And you can read about her in Luke chapter 2 verse 36. She's called a prophetess because she was a woman who spoke out the word of God in the temple. And she was there day by day, week by week, year after year, honouring God and praying for the congregation and the people there. We're told in Luke 2 that she was very old, that she'd lived her life with her husband for 7 years after her marriage. So probably only had 7 years marriage. And then I presume he died. And so she was just left without a husband. And till she was 84. And she never left the temple, but she worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. She spent her energies giving thanks to God and speaking about the Christ Jesus to all that she met. So when young Jesus came in, she said, "Ah, here he is. I've been telling you about him all this time, and now he's appeared." And she recognised him. Wow. Think about that. How have they spent their lives, these widows? They have, as Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 5, gives us a sort of just a general picture, you know, of the kind of things. We don't want to get too technical about all this, because it's all, our lives are always a bit of a funny picture of these things. But it's a self-controlled, pure, busy at home, been kind, loved and served their husbands in subjection, engaged in ongoing prayer and the training and supporting of the younger women. Also, wow, what a picture. They are models of complementarianism. I'm going to use a big long word because I think that word is probably the most important word in this gender debate today. Complementarianism. What that means is that when women complement men, and men also work in association and connection with women, there is no conflict, there is a cooperation and a sort of a complementarianism that exists between men and women. So it is, the widows need to be recognised. Now, the third thing is, it starts with R, reproduced. This picture of God, the mothers, needs to be reproduced in the church. Now, this is a bit of a new one. A bit of a new thought coming on here, so think about this. Okay, I think that the godly older women in the church and the caring for these widows and caring for those older people and building up the homes and the marriages and the families in the church and in the community, that that kind of thing needs to be reproduced. And so, somehow or other, the church is to operate in building up reproduction of that. Now, I call it pastoral care. Pastoral care, that's what it is. Right. So, there are models of the Good Shepherd, these women, since they have been for years exercising pastoral care as models of faithfulness in their husbands. They're well known for their good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints. I mean, that's all those dirty jobs. The horrible jobs. Washing feet. I mean, fancy washing someone's feet. That's the worst job you can get. But here's the model of service. And helping those in need and exercising devotion to God and His church. Now, think of these women and of their influence in this church. Now, okay, I'm talking about, there's not many of you here at the moment, but you know if you're one of them. And the influence of the godly women in this church is astounding. And the influence that they've had on the lives of this congregation. I think that sort of thing could be reproduced. We want more of it in our society, thank you very much. I don't care what anyone says. Might be old-fashioned, but there it is. By focusing on each of those within our own family unit who have gone before us, we'll value their years of pastoral investment in us all. So yeah, I'm just picking up there on the fact that these women have also gone before us. Our mothers have gone before us, and they've invested many, many years of their life for us, and so we in turn honour them on this day. Now, 1 Timothy 5 verse 9 talks about a list, and I just want to say a bit about this list. See, okay, verse 9, 1 Timothy chapter 5. No widow may be put on the list of widows. Okay, what's this list business? Okay, now was there a list of all the widows in the church? I think it probably was. And you know, your name went on the list when you got to a certain age, and there were certain things, and you were then looked after by the church. It wasn't any social welfare system. There was no government Centrelink to support you. It was the church's job. And so the church would care for those who were on the list, the pastoral care list. And this got such a big job that in Acts chapter 6, you know what they did? There was a bit of a problem. The widows of the Jewish wives were getting distributed some certain amounts of food. The non-Jewish women were being neglected. So they appointed deacons. Stephen and others, who their job was to wait on the tables and care for these people because their work got too much for the apostles. And so it was, I believe, that there was this pastoral care list that went on to the church. And I believe that that was the kind of thing that should be reproduced. Now, this is my new thought. It's not a new thought. It's an old thought that's sort of coming into the forefront. I think church evangelism, church outreach, the first harm of it is pastoral care for our elderly people, particularly the women, particularly those who are alone, particularly those in need. And Lord, help us in that challenge. Perhaps they had a kind of like a prayer list that went around, I don't know. Maybe they had a special list, a book, I don't know, they wrote it in, I'm not sure. But you see, the honouring of the pattern of pastoral care in the homes and of the families and in the church community and bringing all that nurturing and all that love and all that kindness and all that gentleness and all that meekness and all that support and all that service. It's a dead, dirty word, I know. It's a dirty word. But bring all that into the church is seen to be honoured by the church, reinforced So we are to be the reinforcers of that as we build strong homes and families and church family. The strangers, the isolated, the lonely, the needy, those without mothers, those without fathers, those without support are the core of the church to exercise the nurture and the love and the caring of God. We are the true social welfare support system who are called to seek God's strength to build an army of helpers, nomads for Christ, okay? Nomads for Christ, who increase the motherhood of older women in our church and reinforce it by our love and support and honour, our recognition and our resemblance of those sorts of things. Let's pray. God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for these pictures that you've given us in this church pattern there in Timothy and Titus by Paul. We're trying to get our brain into how you were thinking when Paul wrote those words and what was going on in your mind and how it relates to us. Lord, we pray that we might be a church that honours mothers, and particularly those mothers in the church who have devoted themselves to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing our final hymn.